I've had a note change before. Have you? Nothing compares to the story you'll hear in today's episode. Let's get going.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the ATA Nation Podcast. My name is Master Zach Hayden, and this is episode number 8 of the ATA Nation Podcast. I am so glad you are here with us today. We have an amazing interview with Chief Master Babin from Arizona, and you're going to definitely want to check out his website after you listen to this interview, because he's got a lot of amazing stories on there, very motivational. The story he's going to tell us today is all about a no change. And I assume most of you guys know that term, but if you don't, a no change is when you don't pass your testing. We don't call it a fail. We call it a no change. You don't change your rank. And I've had a couple in my past. I was testing for fourth degree. I had a bunch of students from my school come down and watch me. And this was back when the scoring system, if you didn't break a board, you knew you didn't pass. There was just no way you could pass. And I was doing a running jump sidekick over two obstacles, I think. And I just messed up. My stepping was weird on one attempt. And so then I went back and didn't finish that attempt. So that counted, obviously, as an attempt. And then I didn't break it the final time. And I knew I didn't pass. And I'll tell you, I worked so hard on that testing. I did this thing at my school when, because I was a school owner at the time. I didn't have my school for very long, maybe 2 years, maybe a year. And it was more than a year. It was at least 2 years. And I was doing this challenge where students would be able to pick a workout for me each day. And a different kid was assigned a different day, and they would text me that morning and say, hey, this is the workout you need to do that day. And I just worked my butt off and, did everything right. And then things just didn't go well that day. And man, was I angry. I use this story. I tell my students this story often, and tell them, like, hey, when you have a no change, go be sad, be angry for a little while. Don't do it, at the location. Just, I held it together and I was, finished testing and then I went back to the hotel in Little Rock, and I was just not a happy camper. But then you got to get up and you got to keep going. And, I think you're going to find the story today from Chief Master Babin inspiring, and just a really neat piece of history as well. Chief Master Babin has some great stories from back in the day in ATA Nation, and I look forward to having him back on again to tell us some more stories. But let's get right into the interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us Chief Master Babin today from Arizona. Sir, how are you today?
Fantastic, Master Hayden. Thank you so much.
Well, I am really excited to have you on. I know years and years ago, we actually did a video interview about some stories of the past, and I know you have a bunch of great stories. You've been blogging about them online at your website, billbabin.com. Would you share with us a story that you have from the past in ATA Nation?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I know you've got a ton of them. So we'll limit it to one today, just because we'll have you back on, I'm sure, to do some more stories for us.
I appreciate it. Well, let me begin first by saying that if you find this story interesting and exciting, I want you to remember that all of you students of ATA have a similar story, and maybe it hasn't actually been written yet, but as long as you continue forward, pursue the objectives, the goals that you see in Taekwondo, you will not be disappointed. There may be mistakes along the road. There may be what people might call failures or, quote, no changes. But the overall experience for you will be super rewarding, and you will have wonderful stories that will bring meaning and happiness to your life. So my story is about advancing in rank, which all of us think is really pretty important. The story actually has three stages. It has a first-degree black belt testing, testing for fourth-degree black belt, and then testing for sixth-degree black belt. And for those of you who are black belts, you understand that those are probably the three most important black belt tests of your life. Mm-hmm. And I had a no change at every single one of those. So I'm going to skip one and two and jump right to the really big kahuna, the testing for sixth-degree black belt.
Yes, sir.
Because it's so connected to Eternal Grandmaster and some of the stuff that he always did and thought and taught me. So at this time, this was in the like 90s. And when people tested for sixth degree, they were given a special testing. It was separate from what the national testing was. It was on the stage, part of the opening ceremonies. And I mean, I had watched this for 5 or 6 years, and it was like, oh man, my time's coming up. I'm going to get to be on the stage, opening ceremonies, blah, 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 you know?
Yes, sir.
And I get there, and that's not happening at all. They took the fifth degrees testing for sixth and put them in with everybody else. And me and my five classmates actually went up to do our form all at the same time. There was no stage. It's just like, you know, the regular convention center with tables and stuff like that, you know? And so the five of us, six of us all together, go up and we do our forms. And I'm telling you, this is terrible. When I say this, you'll know why I failed. Okay. I'm doing my form and I'm like 5-6 seconds into it. And I'm thinking, this is not what I wanted.
No.
You know, this is not what I wanted.
Sir.
Where is the stage? Where is this? I'm supposed to be on the stage.
This isn't what I planned for.
This is not what I planned for. Okay. And so then I go on and I do my sparring and I get to my boards, and I think I had a step spin wheel kick, a speed break, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I stopped. I knew I didn't pass at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was standing on the platform in the train station, and my five classmates got on the train and left without me.
Oh.
And it was, I copped the worst attitude. It was just unbelievable. I went upstairs to my room and watched basketball. This is back when we used to be like at the same time of the NBA championships,
mm-hmm.
but, you know,
yes,
around
sir.
The middle of June or something like that. And I don't like basketball. And I went up to the room and I put the basketball championships on. I was so irritated. I was so mad. It was unbelievable. So bad attitude, really, really bad attitude, especially at that rank. And so I know I would have a chance to test again. And the next opportunity was at camp. I think the date was actually August 1st, about 6 weeks later. So I planned to go and everything else. Well, this is back at the time when camp was like 6 or 7 days long.
Yes, sir.
And camp ended with a testing. And I think it was Saturday morning. So I'm doing the regular thing, you know, going to camp, working out, practicing my form during my time off and stuff like this, working on my board break and everything else. And it's Friday night. And at that time, Master MK Lee, now Grandmaster MK Lee, who is the presiding nominee at this point.
Sir.
He comes up to me and he says, taps me on the shoulder while I'm sitting down. You ready to test? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm ready to test. Well, go to your room and get ready.
No.
And blah, 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 blah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm testing on Saturday morning with everybody else because that's when you do the testing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to the room, put my uniform on. I come back to the cafeteria room, the multipurpose room in the Arkansas 4-H Center there. And it's a nice size room. And I was only gone, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. I come back, all the tables have been cleared. It's all empty, and there's like 130 people that were there for the camp. They're all sitting around the side. And they're setting up a single table, 8-foot table, on the stage there. And I walk in, and it's like, nobody's in uniform. No one's in uniform. None of the high ranks. Master Minton was there. Master DeLeghi was there. Grandmaster Sunho was there. And, of course, Eternal Grandmaster. Nobody was in uniforms. They were in camp dress.
Yes, sir.
You know? And I look around the room. Oh, gosh. Master From Juntun. Master Jorgensen. He was the other one. These two guys are in uniform. So there's three of us in uniform. And I realized that I'm testing right now.
Oh.
Right now. Oh. And I soon realized I'm testing by myself.
Oh.
There's nobody else testing. And the table is set up, and there's no tablecloth on it. Now, for those that can go back this far, you may just be accustomed to go into a national tournament and you see a testing table set up that's got a white tablecloth on it. You don't think anything of it. Oh, the convention center provides white tablecloths. Well, no. This was what Eternal Grandmaster insisted upon. And he'd come out to Arizona many times. I'd seen him here. And he was particular about what happened out of testing, how the room was set up. And you must have a white tablecloth on the table. And so I'm going, this is just too odd. There's four people sitting at the table, Eternal Grandmaster H.U. Lee, Grandmaster Sunho, Master Minton, and Master Zalegi. And oh gosh, it was just insane. But you remember what I said before? I said, where's the stage?
You got your stage. You were all by yourself.
It's one of those be careful what you wish for things, okay? All right? Because I got my stage, man. Here I am alone. Admittedly, there's not 4,000 people in the room, but there's 130 certified instructors in the room, and I'm the only one testing.
Oh.
And so I realized, oh, okay, this is it, man. I am really in for it. Okay. And so, you know, I start doing my form. And so it is silence, pin drop silence in this room. And I'm just going through, punching and kicking. It's Chung Hei, 5th degree form.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all these crazy jump inner crescents.
Yes, sir.
All this jump, spin, hook, kick stuff. And of course, I was younger then. Oh gosh, I can't place it. I was born in 52, so I was 40 in 92, so I must have been like 47, maybe 48 years old. So into this silence comes the voice of Hang Eng Lee. And he just starts talking about me. And he's, wow, that was a good punch. That was a good, fast punch. And I was like, I didn't know what I was hearing. It was like, okay, am I supposed to stop and bow and say, thank you, sir? Or am I supposed to just keep going? I decided to just keep going. Okay. And I did some kick, and the only real phrase that I can remember is this one here. I did some kick, and he said it was a jump kick, and he said, "Wow, he jumps like a spring chicken." And he must have made at least 3 or 4 different comments in the 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes to do the form, and it was like, oh God, I don't know, Master Hayden. this means so much to me. It elevated me so much. And I don't know if he understood how much he gave to me in those moments, but he was always a giving person. And there's more stories about that. So anyway, I did that. You know, I did sparring. You know, try the whole thing without the resting in between the parts, where the testing actually takes about 11 minutes, maybe 12 minutes.
You don't need a fit test when you're doing that.
Yeah, you don't need a fit test. So I do my form. I bow out, leave the floor. They call my name again. I come back up. Oh, I took what, a minute and a half to put my sparring gear on. Come back out, spar the first guy. And I had, like, I don't know if you know from Juntan and Jorgensen, they're just wonderful, wonderful people. They
were
considerably my junior. Both of them, Jorgensen's tall and thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like 6 inches taller than me. And Sam is like a small person. I mean, I was probably 160 at the time, and he was probably 100, 110 pounds, but super fast. And we had a great time. We just had a fantastic time punching and kicking. And then go take off your gear, come back up, break your boards. Everything went great. And I passed the test. I certainly attended a lot of camps and things. And I'd never seen anything like that duplicated, but a special testing. Mm. And then I find out the reason he did that was because he was leaving the camp at that time and was not going to be there the next morning for the testing and the ending ceremonies for the camp. Because we had the testing the next day.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone else, there was another 10 or 12 people that tested.
You were the highest ranked testing, and he needed to see you and make sure.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my word. How crazy.
You know, so I want to reemphasize what I said at the beginning, which is that I think if you place your faith in Taekwondo and you place your faith in your instructors and you got to be active. I mean, I went to everything I could go to, every tournament, every clinic, every seminar, every international event as much as I could, all the way through 2011, from 1976 to 2011. Mm-hmm. And that's just one story, one example of the positive, amazing effect that Taekwondo and ATA in particular, because I haven't been anywhere else. ATA is my life, has been my life, and always will be. And, what it's given to me, a tremendous amount of joy, not to mention fitness. I'm almost 70 years old now, and I'm still punching and kicking.
Yes, sir.
So,
well, and you can look back now and go, how great was it that I know changed? Because I wouldn't have had this experience before.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
It's easier to think that, you know, years and years later, not in the middle of being by yourself in front of all these people. I had one of our insiders asked a question about obstacles you faced in your ATA career. And obviously there was a great example. They also ask, what general advice would you give to someone who's not yet a fourth degree? So, you know, they're a little lower on the totem pole. What kind of advice would you give to a lower ranked black belt?
Be as active as possible.
Mm.
Okay. That's most important. Things have changed a lot. When I was that rank, first degree, second degree, you know, there was, by that point, I had already opened up an academy, and there was, training was very limited. It's like my instructor was, you know, 2 hours away. And so I went to every camp and tournament and seminar so I could train. Nowadays, there's so much more going on and so much more high rank that you can, if you're a third degree, well, you can train with a fifth degree or mm-hmm. even a master in your own area.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You have to be active and you have to say, I'm going to make a priority for my training. It's going to happen 3 times a week at this time or whatever. And you also have to diversify and do other things besides taekwondo. You have to know how to work resistance training in, know how to work, how does cardiovascular training fit in? All these things that are just part of the components of good physical fitness. But I'm also working on a thing now that's going to help people understand how to kick until they – till they're 100 years old. But anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. I had one more question from somebody asking, and this is a loaded question. I mean, there's so many people who could be on this list, but who inspired you to become the person you are today? You know, obviously, Eternal Grandmaster, you mentioned your other instructor. Who are some of those people?
Rex Veeder, is my first instructor, and you know, took me to black belt, and then we were together for quite a while after that, and we are still connected. Tremendous influence because he got me started, and I can't tell school owners how important this is. Okay, you just don't know the potential. Every time somebody walks in that door, every time you teach the first how to bow, it's, you know, treat it as this absolute precious moment because there's so much potential there. The other person would be Grandmaster Soon Ho Lee. There's some stories about him on my website, so I kind of leave that there. But he's just been tremendous to me.
Yes, sir.
And then Grandmaster Allemeyer, Grandmaster Reed, and Grandmaster Clark. You know, Grandmaster Reed was my first business teacher. I went to San Francisco and studied with him in the beginnings of the 80s and taught me just the simplest but most important things about running a business. Grandmaster Clark taught me stuff about curriculum and about how different parts of the curriculum fit together. And then Grandmaster Allemeyer was just always such a fun teacher. Just had so much fun taking weapons. And I ended up making Bang Meng Yi my favorite weapon. And nobody, Bang Meng Yi is a third rate, just absolute shunned weapon of all weapons.
Nowadays, you know. Especially, it's a little disappointing. Actually, another question we had was, what was your favorite black belt weapons form? So I'm going to guess that Bang Meng Yi was up there for you.
Yeah, and I almost like the single better than the double, but the double is, I play drums and having the two sticks in my hands at the same time and doing five count and six count and seven count. This stuff was like, it was so much fun.
Yes, sir.
To do that. And I was never much at Song Jibong, never much at Zhang Bong, Sam Don Bong. Ooh, man, geez. People get hurt when I got that in my hands. And sword, I loved it, but I always felt like I was such a dilettante. just I don't deserve to have this thing anywhere near me or to be touching it because it's such a special, I don't know, I want to elevate it.
Yes, sir.
In so many ways. Now, the one I did have a little bit of love for was Sang Nat because it was a little bit like Bang Meng Yi and a little bit like drumming. Again, the two things, small things in one in each hand. And so definitely Bang Meng Yi and Sang Nat.
Bang Meng Yi, you're right. It's doesn't have much love these days, but it's such a practical weapon. It's a great weapon, but it's just not flashy like what people want nowadays. So
yeah, there are so many things around you in your house, in your yard, in your office that are sort of like a stick.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I agree that I think it's the most practical weapon.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, sir, I thoroughly enjoyed your stories, whether this great one today on the podcast or on your website. We'll invite people to go over to BillBabin.com and check those out. Thank you again for your time, for your experience, and for your willingness to share that with the rest of ATA Nation.
It's always my pleasure. I appreciate it. Master Hayden, so much. Thank you.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that interview. And let's go over a few things going on all over ATA Nation. I know there are still some of you guys that are locked down, and we can't wait to see you guys again. But it looks like most of the country is getting opened back up. I know Nationals is coming up very soon. We've got some tournaments this coming weekend. Definitely the virtual tournament season, Tournament of Champions, is on May 1st, so that's really exciting. Some other class, another Class B in Hammond that weekend. A Class A May 8th in South Bend. If you come to that, you can see me there. I'll be there. May 12th through 15th, Las Vegas Spring Nationals. How exciting to finally get back together for that again. Going to be a great time. And then a Class A in St. Peter's on May 22nd, a Class A in Phoenix May 29th, and then we are on to district championships. All right. It's so exciting to have district championships. Registration is open right now, so if you have qualified for districts, and remember, these are the district championships that you earned the ability to compete in last year. Okay, so these are the events, the districts that was supposed to happen in 2020. So if you qualified for that district championships, it's the one taking place this year. And so your instructor should know, they probably got a list of who's qualified. You might want to check in on that and get registered right away, because I believe the registration ends May the 5th. But you want to double check that. Very important to get pre-registered. They don't do registration on site for those. And you don't want to miss your opportunity to compete for district champion. And then, of course, we got Worlds coming up this summer in Phoenix, Arizona. And that World Championships, for those of you who may have forgotten, the Tournament of Champions that is happening at that event is actually going to be awarding the titles for those people who have earned a spot to compete last year. So the last tournament cycle that ended right with COVID, and we, you know, had to end early because of the pandemic. Those Tournament of Champions people are going to get to compete at Worlds this year. And then those of you who compete at districts and become district champions, if you're in the black belt divisions, you will be able to compete at the Tournament of Champions at Worlds also. So that's a lot of fun. And then, of course, the World Championship Tournament, the regular event, is a tournament that will go towards your points for this current tournament season that started in January and runs all the way until next April of 2022. So I know it's a little confusing. I've got some students there, you know, still kind of wrapping their heads around this extended season and how this districts and worlds works because of the pandemic. But I think the tournament department has done a phenomenal job of navigating these things, getting some great opportunities to compete with the virtual season. But then I think this plan with districts and worlds is an awesome plan, so it's going to be a great time. Ladies and gentlemen, another action-packed episode. I'm so excited to see you again this week, and make sure you are out there striving for excellence.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Oh, man. I forgot to tell people about the Insiders Group. So you guys, the guys who stick around to the end, are probably the only ones that'll hear about the Insider Group this week. So if you aren't part of our Insiders, go over to your computer, and you can visit our Instagram profile, and there's a link there. Or you can text me 260-250-3975. We've got a private little group there of super awesome ATA Nation members. And one of the things I love to do is send out an email, or excuse me, send out a text to you guys, the insiders, when I'm getting ready to interview somebody. And you guys get to ask questions then. I think that's awesome. So maybe tell your friends about it. Get them, you know, excited about being an insider as well. Oh, man. I got to work out with Grandmaster MK this weekend. So much fun. So much fun. We'll talk about that another time, though. Okay, guys. Take care.